Paying for something versus buying it, what is the difference? In the past 10 or so years, I have had thousands of people who paid for something. 70% of them paid again and again. For the same thing or something else. Many are still around, reading the articles, and still paying for stuff. The question is, suggested by the title of this article, how many of those thousands were buyers? You and I think that the two things, paying or buying, are the same, but only if and when we look at the surface. They whipped out their credit card, or something equivalent to that movement, they spent their money on something I offered. And before you get upset, just read on. And then, after you read what I say, we can argue. After you understand what I am saying, please, calm down and read. Now, I am not denying that they were buying something. You are always either selling or buying. So most likely they were buying. Although I have a sneaking suspicion that many of them were selling me. Bribing me. Wanting me to do what they wanted me to do. That is selling. What I am saying is this: 91% of all transactions, says source, were to buy consolation or confirmation. Not what I am selling. That means only 9% of all the purchases, including clients who have been with me for 10 years, were with the intention to buy. Buy into. What I am selling can be interpreted in two ways. The two ways are along the divisive line, causing. You see, the absolute majority of humanity doesn't cause anything. They don't cause their own actions, attitude, or what they say. And they don't cause their intention. It happens to them. They are always the effect. Never the cause or anything. They react to causes. Hormones, urges, ideas, feelings, the weather, threats, other people. Whereas the absolute minority causes at least some of the things they can cause. And 1,000, the 1,000 cause everything. Like a placebo, many teachers and gurus cause the listeners, the buyers, the audience to feel in a the way they want you to feel, do things they want you to do. But these teachers don't cause themselves. They cause the placebo effect for their buyers. When I visit these teachers, depending on the level of deception, their vibration is between 100 and 170. They are today's sleight of hand magicians. And then there are the 200s. And they latch on to some truth, and keep repeating it. They have slightly higher integrity, but they are still in the trying to cause you business. Causing the placebo effect, temporarily, for their clientele. They are not self-causing. All their efforts are outward driven where they need to force. The 1,000 is busy causing themselves. At least 70% of their efforts focused on that. Causing yourself is power. Trying to cause another is force. I read David Hawkins' book Power vs. Force about 15 years ago, so I don't remember anything. But if you ask me, that is the difference. Force is always violent. Like rape. War. Like telling people what is right and what is wrong. Religion. Yeah, religion is violent. It is force. You don't allow the people to choose for themselves. You violate free will. Sidebar, all source energies are co-creative. Source will not make you feel the placebo effect. You need to actually cause yourself to obey the energies, cause yourself to accept the energies, or they refuse to work. Source respects your free will. While you hope that you don't have to do anything, you do. There is an evolutionary gap between the two groups, between 99.99% of humanity, and the 1,000. And the division is caused by this one gene, we can call the causing gene, or the responsibility gene, or maybe even called the choosing gene. Choosing what is, really choosing, is as rare as the 1,000. Choosing is an expression of causing. Causing. Not reacting. Causing for no reason. As long as there is a reason, you are not causing, the reason causes. In all my years, I only had one person who got the distinction choosing. The exercise that leads to getting or more often not getting the distinction is the famous chocolate or vanilla? Choose exercise. And it is not an accident that this same person is now doing his hero program, often bringing causing to it. Is he 100%? No. But he is intelligent enough to know that unless he turns on his causing gene with the 14 seconds audio, he is shit out of luck. He cannot choose. He cannot cause. He is at 10%. Really good. The rest are at 1% or under. What is the difference? You wouldn't be able to guess, but the title has already intimated, suggested the answer. They paid for the 14 seconds audio that activates the causing gene, but didn't buy it. They hoped that having the 14 seconds audio will do the trick. But they are not using IT. And when they do, they are not causing it to turn on the genes. So, just like before, when they see an opportunity to choose something that is hard, or unpleasant, or painful, they don't think to use it so they can choose it. They won't cause themselves to choose it. Instead, they either don't do what is hard, or they begrudgingly obey me. To please me, for me to like them, to buy more time with me. But they are not choosing, the reasons choose. There is a saying that if you made a difference with just one person while you live, you didn't live in vain. What they don't say is that it needs to be the kind of difference you intend to make. It's garbage collection day here where I live. I took out the recyclables, but it nearly killed me. So I was going to take out the stinky garbage, but I nearly forgot. But the sound of the garbage truck woke me from my concentration on writing this article. So I quickly took the bag out. One of the attendants took the bag from me. Turns out the stinky kind of garbage was already taken. But he took my garbage and put it with the recyclables. I was grateful. But this clearly tells me that recycling is largely a joke. And although this dude made a difference for me, I don't have to keep my stinky garbage for another week. Did he make a difference? With that said, if this guy in my course who started to use the 14 seconds activator will turn his life around, then I didn't live in vain. Something will survive me. If you are interested in buying something I made, let me know. But remember, buying is a contract. Not between me and you, but between you and you. If you lie to me, so what? But if you lie to yourself, you'll pay a hefty price. Don't do it. Email me and tell me what you like. If I like your energy, I may want to talk to you too. If you haven't had your starting point measurements, or your health measurements, do that before you email me. Please. Get your starting point measurements. P.S. My downstairs neighbors are a great case study. She got a job a month ago. I guess it made a big difference to actually make some money for a change. So for the past 2 weeks, since her first paycheck, she cooks breakfast, lunch, dinner. While for the past year she never did so. But. And this is important. Starting this week, she is watching TV every day she is at home. She works partly from home, I guess. So it is not only people who pay for something who are liars. I guess everyone is a liar. P.P.S. Worth reading, in spite of its $5 words. On not meeting Nazis halfway. Rebecca Solnit writes. We get this hopelessly naive version of centrism, of the idea that if we're nicer to the other side there will be no other side, just one big happy family. This inanity is also applied to the questions of belief and fact and principle, with some muddled cocktail of moral relativism and therapists everyone's feelings are valid applied to everything. But the truth is not some compromise halfway between the truth and the lie, the fact and the delusion, the scientists and the propagandists. And the ethical is not halfway between white supremacists and human rights activists, rapists and feminists, synagogue massacrists and Jews, xenophobes and immigrants, delusional transphobes and trans people. Who the hell wants unity with Nazis until and unless they stop being Nazis? Excerpted from the essay, On Not Meeting Nazis Halfway, by Rebecca Solnit.